Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. It's Patricia Corey. You're listening to Beyond the Matrix, and you know what this means. Asking yourself, inviting yourself, committing yourself to getting out of that box, conventional thinking, and soaring in the place where I'm hanging out more and more lately, the free thought zone. And that's what we're doing tonight, and we will always be doing as long as I've got a breath left in me. In fact, before we get started with my very dear friend and guest, Patty Greer, today, I just want to tell you that I've been letting it loose here lately. No holds barred on some of the things I've been saying on interviews. So check me out. You can find some of my latest stuff on, well, all over the net, even though I know people think, you know, but Patricia, you used to speak out against the net. And I always remind people that as long as you set that intention to go to the net with your highest vibrations, it will really help you shield anything that's coming in that is not of that level. And so anyway, take a look. I'm talking about vaccines. I'm talking about camps. I'm just letting it hang out here and speaking what I absolutely know is my truth, and also knowing that so many of us are absolutely out of fear and moving toward true warriorship. I'm so proud of you all and very honored to be serving in this capacity. In what capacity, you ask? As a teacher, as a channel, whatever you want to call it, I'm here as your humble servant. And that said, I would like to bring on a very effervescent friend, movie maker, soulmate kind of person, Patty Greer. Hiya, Patty.
Hiya, Patricia.
We're going to be talking. I just want to give a little bit more of an intro to you because of all the great work you're doing. And many of you who follow me and Patty are aware that I was in her exquisite film, 2012. We're already in it. And we'll be talking about the film again a little bit. But I have invited Patty to get down because, as I said, we're here to talk about everything. And Patty can do that. So we're going to be talking about, I asked Patty to come on and talk about a number of things, but I'm quite interested, since I am letting it all hang out, as usual, in getting some of the information that she has acquired in her studies and her filming of stories of people who have had quite remarkable encounters of the abductee variety. So you'll be staying tuned for that. Before we plunge into Patty, please call your friends and tell them if they want to hear some pretty amazing stories to come on to bbsradio.com and tune in to what Patty and I are going to be talking about, which is so important now that I think it's pretty clear to all of us. We are really, really close to imminent. Imminent is the same as close. We are really, really close to global contact. I think you'll agree with that, Pat?
Oh, absolutely. And so many people that you and I meet have already had it.
Yeah, in fact, I think you and I will also agree we've had it in the crop circle ourselves together.
Yes, absolutely.
So we're not going to be concerned about holding back today. And I'd like to really talk about abductee stories from the first-hand amazing accounts that you've had when you were working you were doing some filming at the UFO conference?
Yes. I've gone 2 years to the International UFO Conference in Laughlin, Nevada, 2008. I went and I didn't know anybody, but they were really supportive. I had sent them a copy of my Crop Circle movie, and 3 days later, the owner of the event invited me to show the movie, and he said I was going to throw a special Tuesday lunch just to premiere my film for his crowd of incredible, brilliant people coming in from all over the world, all of us studying this new reality. It's not really new, but we're calling it the new paradigm because it's still new to the masses.
Yeah, definitely isn't new, as you say, but it will be soon, let's say, not new to anyone anymore. When we look at situations like they're finally declaring there's water on the moon, and we're seeing, I don't know if you're aware of the woman they call the Blue Woman that was somehow this image is coming forward from the Mars images that are out there. Have you seen the woman?
I have not.
very exciting footage. It's a snapshot, it's a photo that's come out of some of the Mars photography, and some pretty interesting information is coming out about this, what looks like a figure walking down the hill. April Fools! There is no life beyond planet Earth. I don't think so.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about my work was that it happened accidentally somewhat that I began making movies. It wasn't my plan when I went to England to go lay in a crop circle or 50. And my life completely changed because I mean, it was the first lay down. The very first year I went was 2006, and I had people with me, and it was raining and wet, but the experience was still completely shocking to my system. Every ounce of my being lit up like a blowtorch. I had goosebumps head to toe, and I still am 30 feet from the formation opening. I mean, if we're sensitive, if we're open, we're going to be feeling so much more now, because with the ascension of the consciousness of all humans and beings on the planet, all the elementals included, we're all going through so much shift that the more we can quiet our minds, the more we realize we can already see.
Ah, yes, Patty, quieting the chattering box. Very important, very important. Mm-hmm. I was just in Amsterdam, as you know. I was a keynote speaker at the Frontier Symposium, which was very interesting. And I was quite amazed that at the vibration of the, we use this language a lot, so sometimes the words get devalued. But really, the vibration of these people, their awareness, their absolute preparedness, and I looked out at them and I said, oh man, are we ready for a revolution? We are ready, bring it on.
You are such a rebel rouser.
I know, I'm getting better. I was going to say it's getting worse, but I'm getting better and better and better. Bring it on. And I also invite people to look at their fear. And so you and I are doing our best to be models of fearlessly bringing forward truth as we perceive it. I never declare that I am the owner of truth, but it is my truth as I perceive it, and I'm sure you agree, so is yours.
Absolutely. And the idea that I had for what you and I could talk about on this show, the first thought I had was women in the forefront of this industry. And I know that when I was at the UFO conference, I was meeting everybody for the first time, and they all saw my crop circle movie, which made them all kind of like me, trust me, know that I'm real with the program, because it was just me raw in the crop circles and meeting my new friends there. It was my first year. I met Patricia Corey. But interestingly enough, we met after she had seen me filming in six different locations that she was with her tour, and we never met. I kept filming other people, and I hadn't really met Patricia until the end of a very long day. I went to a restaurant and out 2 hours away in Glastonbury, England, and she invited me to join her crew of all these people that really had been in the backdrop of all six of my shoot locations that day. And when Patricia and I met and realized that we were soul sisters on the same powerful mission of bringing this, the beauty of the reality of what's going on to the people of this planet, I put her in the movie any way I could, which was stills and some beautiful work pieces off her CD, which is called Starseed Awakening?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Oh, my God. It was like she said she gave me permission so I could choose any moments. And so I found just a few minutes and put in some stills of Patricia at the tour and in the sunset in England in the crop circle area. And we had just barely met, but I knew she had to be in the first movie. And the following year when I went back to the UFO conference this year, we showed my third movie in their film festival, and it won Best Feature Film, UFO or Related, at the UFO International Conference, which is this beautiful pewter Evie Award of an alien on a fancy block with a movie camera on his shoulder.
And the star that's you, Patty, that's just like you, a little alien woman on a block with a camera.
Now, I'm not an alien. I'm just a little human third-dimensional body walking around the planet playing with aliens.
Okay, that'll work for me.
But my first
right. I just wanted to interrupt you since you're on that role and lead you back Great, 2012, this movie that I love, and I should tell everybody about it. But I was very interested in the movie that isn't going to be made for reasons you explained earlier, for legal reasons, where you had some of the most amazing interviews with abductees.
Yes.
And
yes.
Information that, quite honestly, people really... That kind of direct, intense information doesn't always make it out to the public. So I would like to head you over to that, since we only have, an hour for this show. And we're already well into the hour. And so if
okay.
You could, well, we'll get back to 2012, my favorite movie, because I'm in it! kidding.
I wasn't going to let that slide. You know, I'm letting you go, but I needed to say that the punchline is Patricia Corey is the Hollywood starlet of 2012 or already in it. I'm kidding. She's the crop circle with dust in her hair from the wheat starlet of 2012 or already in it, and she is fabulous. And she takes us on this journey of so much advanced information, and then she gives this punchline which almost every female that I've talked to verbally has said, the one thing I came away from your movie with was that line when that woman said, yeah, we're in martial law, but look at this day. Look at this beautiful day. Now, what are you going to do with it? I just think that's fabulous. And I think it's also ultimately the message of my movie, which is, yeah, all this stuff is happening all around us, but we have the option to choose how we look at it and to have a blessed day. So, amen, sister.
Thank you for that. I really appreciate the recognition and the honor of being in the movie. But I think that I would just like to add to what you said that I really, truly believe that people are moving out of fear. Of course, mass population, maybe not yet. But I'm seeing a huge shift in our circles of spiritual what do you want to call us? There are no words. What are we?
Light
spirit
workers.
People, light workers, new agers, whatever you want to call it. There is definitely a revolution going on. It's a much higher vibration, and it's just recently too. And I think that has to do with that as the darkness accelerates, people are realizing that, oh my God, it's just all crumbling down. No matter how hard these guys try to turn up the juice, it's all falling apart. As I said in Amsterdam, it's like this big dike and they keep trying to stick their finger in the hole, and the rush of humankind is pouring through. They just can't stop the flow of light and consciousness. Aho.
Aho.
And that's what we're here to do, and it's a new day, and what are we going to do with this day? And I think we're going to do great things. Great things.
Great things.
Well,
so I went to the UFO conference this year, and my mission was to just get to know people that have had this experience. I personally have not, but I did have tons of experience in the crop circles. Did I see little grays or anything with a tail and scales? I did not. But what I did see was plasma, and it began when I was in the crop circles where my vision was completely askew when I opened my eyes after the first time I really laid down and had a crop circle experience. And since that day, I've made a complete full-feature movie every 6 months. And now I have no training. Somebody put a camera in my hand, set it on automatic for movie number 2, and all the right people came up to me at the right time in a crop circle and you know, they had to have dirty boots and dirty knees for me to even talk to them, because the people with the fancy cameras that were there to make postcards and calendars were not the people I want to interview. It was the people I saw every day, even in rain, such as Patricia Corey, Barbara Lamb, and myself. But when it was really raining, it was only me and the homeless girl with her daughter in the car that were in the crop circle. She was great, and it was really funny because whenever nobody would go out in their right mind, I'm out there with my movie camera under a plastic tarp, completely hardcore, and there's Julia. The kid's in the car, staying warm and dry, and she and I are walking through, touching, scratching, sniffing, just in our glory, and it's ridiculous weather. And I've got the camera out under a plastic tarp.
Now, so in your In your encounters with people in the crop circles, did you ever meet anyone that had described any kind of direct, aside from me with my favorite aliens that are there every summer? Oh, yes, you curious people. I know what you're wondering what I mean by that. And to find out, you'll have to come and meet me personally because I do not put that on the air. I just tease you a lot. But, Patty, I wanted to know, in your progressing through the crops, and your interviews with people, did you ever meet anyone who, during the crop circle visitations, experienced direct contact or even losing time like I did or anything similar to that experience or even a direct abduction account?
I didn't hear direct abduction accounts, but I did talk to a lot of people, and they're in my first movie, The Wake-Up Call, anybody listening, that saw the balls of light. And one of them was Charles Mallett, who runs the Silent Circle, which is the center of crop circle research in Wiltshire, England, which is the center of the best crop circles in the world. So he's this very interesting guy that if I ever met anybody that looked like an alien, it would be him.
I'm not going to offend dear Charles. He really does look like a little alien himself.
Well, he's been in the circles for so long, so much, early in the morning. I'm telling you, my looks are changing.
Uh-huh, go ahead.
Well, I think he's fabulous, and he's been very, very supportive to me. So when I talked to him and I interviewed him, he said, all these years, I have been waiting for a ball of light to come in front of me, and finally, here I am, sitting in a circle, got my camera hanging around my neck, and there it is, 6 feet from me, right behind a tuft, a centerpiece of a small crop circle that he was in. He said it was 6-7 feet from him, and he just saw it turn off and on like its light, brighter and cooler and brighter and cooler. Like he described it like a radio volume knob that it was turning and coming down. And he sat there completely astounded because there it was right in front of him all these years he's waited. And then it turned its light off and disappeared. And then he realized, oh, my God, I had my camera around my neck and I didn't hit play. Uh-huh. So here's the guy who's the head of the whole thing. I mean, in my opinion, the research center, he's run it for years, works his tail off, really devoted, and he forgot to turn on his camera, which is what happens to most people when these balls of light, these higher dimensional entities are present. Typically, people have a paralysis where they can see, they can watch, they can think, but they can't scream, they can't push play, they can't reach out and touch it because they're physically paralyzed, but mentally they're quite awake. And I know you've heard this before too.
Well, I've also had the experience of it. I think that what's happening here is that we need to learn that you don't need the picture of it. And this is befuddling to people like you and me who are trying to bring the as tangibly as possible this information out. On the other hand, it's spirit. It's beyond 3D consciousness. So we do battle with this wanting to get it on tape idea and on the other side knowing that we are touching something that's beyond this realm anyway. So, of course, the cameras don't work or we go into that momentary. First of all, in front of greatness, maybe reaching for your camera is not your first thought.
No, you're in the experience.
Exactly. I recall telling you about when I was in Tibet. And I had this experience at the monastery where I saw the actually inside my crystal sphere. After meditating with the sphere, there appeared a little, absolutely perfect little temple inside the center of the sphere, which corresponded identically to the temple I was in. And when I had the sphere with me, so I called my guide, called for the top monk to come and talk to me, and I showed it to him. And he started to, tears came to his face, and we were just going berserk on this extraordinary moment. And I turned to my assistant and said, did you get a picture of this? Did you get a picture? And he looked at me, and those eyes, he looked deep into my eyes. And his message was, do you really need a picture of this? It was a big lesson for me.
Yes, yes.
And so, yeah, I think that although it's frustrating, that sphere was there for Charles. If anything, it was, okay, you've been waiting, and here I am. It doesn't matter if he can show the pictures to someone, because anybody, any of you show, You can show Jesus Christ standing in the field. It'll be debunked anyway, right?
Right, right.
So, yeah, that's great for Charles. I didn't know that he got a little ball of light. How wonderful.
Oh, he had quite an experience, but I don't think it's the first. I think he's had quite a few.
Yeah.
And he's one of many. You know, when I was at the UFO conference, I did spend my whole week discussing with people the most amazing experiences I've ever heard. And I do not have a movie about it, and I will not be presenting it because I was shown that it's not what I'm supposed to do in a most interesting way. And I accept it now that for me it's about kind of like Charles and the ball, kind of like you and your moment. It's about us having the information brought to us one human at a time. And, you know, with Patricia's books, which are so ascension-based and such advanced material, you know, you're going to, some people will read it and just throw it across the room because they're in such resistance. No, I want to have small beliefs. And, you know, and then there's the people who can't put it down because we're hungry for this now. You know, those of us that are really having the willingness to be open, we are hungry for this. I know I can't wait for the UFO conference next year because, you know, I hope to have my new movie for children about the fairy kingdom of the new paradigm available for their film festival. But for me, I've got a hunger. I want to go and not interview, not film. I just want to be somebody sitting in the audience watching my friends and take it in. Because it's time. We all have to be taking in a whole lot more of this advanced material that's being offered to us everywhere. Her books, my movies, you can go online and just search ascension, you know, or advanced consciousness, but don't do low consciousness or all kinds of foods with crap in it. You know, we really have to be feeding our body, our mind, and our heart the right food now because it's time.
Okay. Are you going to let me go to this question that I want to go to?
Sure.
All right. What I want to know is, I'm not really crazy about stories of people having horrific experiences in abduction. I'm interested in people who have had, let's say, clear contact experiences, but not of the horror story Whitney Schreiber variety. So out of the collection of people that told you their story of having had abduction experiences, were there people whose experiences were, rather than being frightening, quite informative and illuminating?
Yes.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, I found that overall most of the people had the feeling that they knew they were chosen and actually felt honored.
That's good to hear.
And, I mean, this is going to be a strange story, but this is one of the ones that really sticks in my mind.
Okay, Patty, first of all, you really can't ever say something strange when you're talking to me or when you're on Beyond the Matrix because we let it all hang out here. So
that's you and I, but I don't know who's listening, and I want to say with all due respect to whomever is listening, here comes a strange one. And this is the one that for some reason stays so in the forefront because he found it so delightful, even what he went through in this story. So he's a man, I would guess, in his 50s. Full-bodied, pink cheeks, really lovely, always looked happy at the event. And when I sat and listened to his story, this was what really stuck. He said, I've had these experiences since I was a child, and if they went away, I'd be really sad. I really quite find it interesting, and it's almost like something I look forward to. So I was on a business trip. I was in Long Beach at a Hilton hotel. I wake up in the morning, and I've got bruises on my thighs. I couldn't imagine what I would have bumped into, but I had matching bruises on my thighs. The next night, I had a double room with a man from Japan that was with the same company, and I woke up in the morning, and I had the same bruises on my thighs, but additional ones on my arms. He said it still didn't bother me because I just figured, you know, while I slept, I went on an adventure. But the interesting thing was the Japanese man also had bruises on his arm that he couldn't explain. So this gentleman then says, the third day, I woke up at the Hilton, and I'm not advertising for them, but the punchline's funny. He said, I went to to take my shower in the morning, and I looked in the mirror, and I had blood across my forehead. and a needle mark in the center of my forehead. And he said, now I hope you don't think it's strange, he's looking at me, that it still didn't bother me because, well, I'm kind of used to it by now. Now I'm freaking out. I'm like, what do you mean it didn't bother you? So he says, I went back to my pillow and I was like, gosh, what's that? And I washed it off with a washcloth and sure enough, there was a hole in the center of my forehead. Well, so he says, I went back and saw my pillow and there was no blood, so I go to turn on the shower and I realized, oh, I always sleep on two pillows. So I lifted the pillow up and sure enough, between them, there was a lot of blood on my pillow. I'm freaking out. I mean, this poor guy, and he says straight at me, it still didn't bother me. Do you think there's something wrong? And I just stared at him like, can't answer that, but really. And he said, yeah, I mean, if it went away, I'd really miss it. But, you know, even that didn't bother me. And then he said, thank God it was a Hilton because, you know, how hard it is to get blood out of sheets.
Wow.
And, you know, I mean, to me, that was really extreme. It was a man that has been dealing with it for years and years. And even with a hole in his forehead and blood all over, he still felt like it was something that he found to be a part of his life that was important and meaningful. And he felt like he was really a pioneer in a bigger plan. So hats off to him.
Did he recall of what happened when he was taken?
He didn't talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I did hear
the experience of afterward of having these phenomena.
His was more that he had proof of body things on his body, but he also had. People that have had this experience, in my opinion, are far deeper than most people. You know, they really have gone to a place of something beyond mystery. And what they make movies about, these people are living. And again, I don't think they're all crazy. And between 5 and 7, Barbara Lamb ran an abductee circle. And it was a closed room, nobody with camera, no press, nobody with a notepad could come in and take notes. And everybody in the room had experiences. You know, mine just being in the crop circles. But I put myself in that circle because I wanted to hear the people's stories. I really am curious, you know. And there was only one man out of 30 that was still in gripping fear. There were a couple people that said, of course, you know, it's kind of scary when it happens. You know, the women, they have some issue, but a lot of the women are surprisingly used to it. Another fascinating story is a woman from Colorado who, she told me that she actually runs support groups now for women that have had sexual interactions with extra-dimensional, extraterrestrial beings. She runs workshops, and she's had quite a crew of women come through there, and they talk about it with support. She herself had the experience starting very young, and when she was 13 and first got her period, she said that she then started having sexual interactions while she was awake. She described it to me flawlessly with a reptilian. And she said that she actually, after a few years, felt a closeness with him. And most people do not say that. But she actually felt like she had a connection with this being. And she claims that she had 17 missing pregnancies. She claimed that when she was 15, she went to a doctor. And I say claimed because this is what she told me, but I wasn't there. She said that she went to a doctor who said, my goodness, what are all these surgeries and all this scar tissue up inside you? And she said, I'm 15, I've never had surgery. And the doctor explained...
15 pregnancies by the time she was 15?
No. Up till today, and she's in her 30s. Maybe 40s.
Okay.
But no, she said, I've had 17 missing pregnancies, and it began when she was 13. So the interesting thing was, you know, that she remembers the table and the position and his entire physical nature. And she had full mental capacity. I mean, she could move her hands. She remembers him putting his hands on her thighs. So she felt, you know, it wasn't just a scientific experiment after a while. And she actually felt a connection with him.
Okay, but Patty, surely we don't blindly accept people's recountings as truth. I mean, as you said, you weren't there. So these kinds of stories you have to be taken with a grain of sand. Salt.
Sand.
Or salt.
Take it with a grain of ground up salt.
I being a person who also declares some pretty paranormal stuff, I am not suggesting that I don't believe a story, but before I openly embrace a story, I really have to, it has to resonate with me. So I would like to ask you, when you were interviewing these people, was there an element or something that rang, that touched you with perhaps not all of them? Was there something about the different stories that had more of a truth bearing over some of the others?
Absolutely. And my first 4 days at the event, I just met people. And it was an interesting, you know, I mean, you can only do it at this event. Hi, my name's Patty. What's your name? Oh, nice to meet you. So have you been abducted? Abducted?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was on a mission to really learn about it this year. And so my first 4 days was pretty much meeting a variety of 800 people, one person at a time, and having that immediate chat with them and being a total listener, because this is new to me. And I find it kind of like food. But again, it was so heavy and so unsettling, like the one I just told you or the one before. You know, I did 25 of them in a row and have made a choice not to put it out. You know, I just, this is not my business. I can tell that my movies that I'm going to be putting out are things that make people feel good. I'm really devoted to not creating more fear. But I think as a filmmaker and as a writer, you and I both want to know as much as we can ourselves and see if we can, you know, use the information gracefully to bring enlightenment to the masses and a feeling of optimism and encouragement for us to all be strong, be positive, and know that when these ships show up and all these amazing little other dimensional beings start interacting with us, well, you know, they're going to be like a sponge in a mirror. They are going to show us what we show them. So if we go, and run, well, they're going to go, and run too, and maybe be chasing us because they don't know what we're doing. But if we
Okay, Patty, take a breath and let me say this. They already are showing themselves to us. It's just that we have still got the blinders on. It's not like all of a sudden we get flooded with these aspects. It's just that we are still limited to a framework where we largely don't believe, largely being the entire population, don't believe in consciousness in other forms and dimensions. And that rather than they're going to come, we are shifting to being able to experience them.
Yes.
And that would not be, I wouldn't want to confuse that when I say, when I talk about contact, because in my experience and the information I get from the council, what's coming here is a massive arrival of very three-dimensional extraterrestrial beings, some of whom are in our solar system, and some of whom are not. And that should not be confused with extra-dimensional beings or elemental beings who are all around us. It's just that we are shifting to the point where we can begin to perceive these things.
Yes.
Or as some people say, you're so lucky you already get to see them. And I remind people that the vision and the sight isn't always as much fun as people think it is, because you have to really deal with some unusual occurrences appearing before you, and to have the judgment and ability to approach these things with balance. And why am I making this statement? And that is because I think a lot of people that are having these experiences, I think a lot of them are not real. In other words, I think there is a number of people who really are being abducted, and I think there are many who have somehow, well, for example, whenever I speak, I get flooded with people who tell me that they've been told they're Syrians and they come from Sirius and their bodies were blue in another lifetime, and a lot of stuff that I feel doesn't necessarily ring true, but that people are loving to embrace. So that's what I'm trying to say about the abduction story. I think that a lot of people convince themselves that they're having these experiences, but it's not necessarily the case. Do you agree?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. You know, and because I haven't had an actual experience, that's why I'm not willing to present it quite so strongly to the world. You know, I'm still in the discovery stage. And
say that. And I would like to also say that in the case of when I alluded to having aliens in the crop circles that I shared with you, when we had that conversation about, well, you know, on the other hand, why wouldn't aliens be attracted to these incredible points of interdimensional communication?
Well,
and why would you necessarily be any kind of negativity on the alien? I mean, if I were an alien and I wanted to see how human beings were reacting to the emerging reality of our Galactic Federation participation, I would take me hither to the grub circles and see what people like you and I are doing.
Exactly. And, you know, all these people that want to debunk the crop circles, I don't even have the energy or the interest in standing around and having the discussion. My only response is, you know what, go to England, go lay in one, and then talk to me, okay? I really, you know, I don't need the cynics in my life, in my face, and I totally respect that many people are. It's just I don't have time.
Wasting energy on trying to convince people is just spitting in the wind. It's boring after a while. It's confrontational, and it's unproductive. And I do also say, look, you know, the only way you can know what I'm talking about, or at least have an idea of what I feel, is to talk to me after you've been there. And now you're just saying the crop circles are a bunch of bunk. But you have no idea where they're located. You have no idea what they feel like. You probably haven't even looked at a picture of them. So get thee, if you really want to have a firsthand an opinion, you must either get there, investigate the images of these articulate, geometric, sacred designs, and do some homework before you just bore us all with debunking.
I agree. And, you know, in my opinion, because I've lived in them for 9 weeks each summer, the last few summers, I feel like I've got a pretty good handle on what's going on there. And that's where I feel my knowledge is because it's firsthand. I've been there. I've laid there. I've seen the resistance with the helicopters above us trying to get my camera to stop running as I'm interviewing brilliant people in these amazing sacred sites, the crop circles in England. But, you know, also, what is the purpose of these crop circles when they're in the middle of a field so nobody driving by on a road can see? There is no reason to put that many, if God forbid it was man hours, hundreds of man hours into creating acres of wheat to lay flawlessly on the top of a hill in the middle of the woods where nobody's going to see it, other than the crop circle researchers.
We don't need to go there, Patty.
But what I'm saying is these things are coming down from higher dimensional beings, in my opinion, clearly, as the first physical manifestation of communications from higher dimensional beings that humans are being gifted to see. We're being given these beautiful sacred geometric patterns, and even the ones being made by humans are sacred geometry. These guys that are making them and laughing at the pub the next night, bless them. I mean, they're coming up with amazing patterns that they're getting gifted. And I was, I heard about the three guys that really were the hot guys that were talking about going out with their boards and strings. And one night they were in the field making a crop circle, and they got buzzed by a ball of light.
Mm-hmm.
And they've talked about it. They stopped talking. One guy said he wet his pants. But a ball of light came over these three guys making a crop circle just to check it.
To the audience that you're speaking right now, the question of whether they're real or not is not relevant. Most of the people that are listening in have either been in the crop circles or they've followed. People are very educated, at least in this environment of my show, to not be that concerned with is it real or not. We're not talking to a mainstream audience here. We're talking to people who are tuned in. Some of them I'm trying to get to come with me every summer. Some have. And some, like in Amsterdam, I announced that people, if they want to do one thing for themselves now, it is to get themselves to the crops. So I think that we can enjoy the splendor of sharing what we've experienced there and not really worrying about the people that are still in total denial, because that's just not who we're talking to today.
Right. And speaking of Patricia Corey's tours of the crop circles, you know, of all the millions and millions of people in the world, when we go to these amazing crop circles, it blows my mind that there's only 2 to 8 to 12 people max in a crop circle. There's just not that many people that are even looking into it. And if those of you out there, which so many are, curious, but you feel a little uncomfortable and intimidated by something so empowering, if you come and join Patricia on a tour, then you're guided by somebody who knows what they're doing, they know the area, and you can feel really safe because you're in a group of people that are all wanting the same information, and you've got a guide taking you there who's been in the fields for years and years.
Oh, gee, Patty, you're such a great promo person. I love it.
Well, I've also met the people on your tours, and they just can't wait to wake up tomorrow, you know?
You know, we start with the DNA workshop, so people are pretty high-powered before we get out into the field. So it is a pretty remarkable time. I mean, before they even get into these amazing places, they've got a real buzz going. So we managed to get quite a lot out of it, and last year was remarkable, too. And so this year's coming up. Oh, boy, I can't believe it. It's already 6 months almost have passed since I was in the crops this summer. It just seems like yesterday. Whew! Time warp.
Well, not only do you get to tour the crop circles, but Patricia Corey gets backstage passes at Stonehenge, so you go in there first thing in the morning and watch the sunrise when there's nobody but her group. So if you guys are thinking about you want to take a sacred tour, I'm telling you, I highly recommend it.
Thank you, Patty. You're hired for my publicity chairman.
Well, you know, and I don't like a lot of people, so you must be pretty spectacular. I'm kidding. I love all people.
Well, the feeling is mutual. Yeah, last year we had a pretty remarkable couple of events in Stonehenge, opening the gate and having people recognize that there is a shamanic approach to any sacred site, and proof of that when we went in, and then when we left, closing the gate, we got a rainbow right over the top of Stonehenge, perfectly covering Stonehenge. It was very spiritual and very breathtakingly beautiful. It was, we didn't have the morning place, we had the evening place. But yeah, I always managed to get my group in alone, right in with the stones. None of this walking around and looking with a headset on. With some little voice going, and Stonehenge was constructed in 2000 BC AD or whatever.
Yep.
So what have you got? Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to throw out an interesting thing because I was thinking of what it felt like in that moment at Stonehenge and what it felt like in the Julia set when you had your experience, or what it felt like in the crop circle where I had mine. These moments of such exquisite pleasure are things that are really, you know, ingrained in our heart. And I recently did a show with Higher Love Radio, and they said something that has just so stuck with me, which is this. A few times a day, if you take 17 seconds and stop everything you're doing and line up in a row many, many favorite moments of your life, and if you're at 15 seconds, pack in a few more, and you just fill your heart up with all your favorite, most enlightening, illuminating, romantic, sensual, whatever it is that gets you happy, moments, and you stuff them all together and you really boost your inner light, you know, with the joy of your life, it's going to help you remember to look at this day. What are you going to do with it? You know, take yourself back into that place of glorious bliss and do it a few times a day. I've been doing it since meeting them and doing that show a few weeks ago, and it really makes a difference because in our mundane existence, we get tested left and right. And now and then, man, just turn the world off, close your eyes, go in, and stuff together all those yummy moments. But I think another big piece is to choose our lives very carefully today and keep creating yummy moments.
Well, there's no question that we are, the council calls it the desert days. Remember that the books came out, the trilogy came out almost 10 years ago now, and they referred to the upcoming time of the desert days. And people who write to me and say, Patricia, are these the desert days? Are we going into them? I go, no, we're moving through them elegantly. Yes, with some turmoil, that was to be expected. Breaking down old paradigms isn't necessarily a comfort zone place. But what's important now, really, really important, is that you live each day as if it were your last day. You really think about that. If you were going to close your eyes for the last time in this day, what would you have created? What would you leave this realm with? Because we spend so much time wasting energy on personal relationships and hating your job and all of the nonsense of our busy day that despite all of our attempts to pursue loftier ideals, we often sink down into that emotional soup of discontent. And so I do invite people to make every day very important. Do you smile during the day? Are you happy? When you wake up, how do you wake up? When you go to sleep, how do you feel? Follow happiness, follow love, follow joy, follow laughter, and get on with clearing out all of that emotional baggage that really no longer serves you.
The whole great spirit.
Aho, great spirit. And that's what we're doing, I think, very successfully in our little worlds as individuals. And I don't mean little in any way of condescending, but you start with your immediate world, you make it perfect. And by perfect, I mean happy and rich and meaningful. And then if your mission calls you, you turn it out to the world and you assist others to come up to that light rather than sinking down into the darkness of suffering.
Amen.
You know, so what are you doing, Patty? When is your new film coming out?
Oh golly. Well, I'm really knee deep in 2012. We're already in it, getting it out to the world. And just today, actually, any minute, somebody in the industry is going to be receiving it FedExed overnight, and I hope my life changes by tomorrow. But I've had an interesting resistance to poor contracts in the distribution world due to my experience. I know, you know, I want to be getting it out to the world and, you know, having it be a balance to the scarier doomsday 2012 images that for some reason certain people feel that really need to be implanted in the minds of the masses. You know, I think I'm just on a mission to keep it positive, keep it light. And, you know, no matter what we're dealing with, to push those 17 seconds into the forefront and remember to smile, remember to laugh and be in our bliss. And I know that all across the world are these classes called laughter yoga. And I did laughter yoga every Monday with my 80-year-old friend who I met at laughter yoga. And it was an addiction. I couldn't wait till Monday at noon to go to this funky old church in Denver. And there were 20, 30 people each day, and it would change up. I knew nobody, but we all made an agreement that when we step through the door, that we leave our pride outside. And for an hour, we just laughed and laughed. And it was a massage on the inside, which made me feel so good. And Patricia Corey and I have had a few ridiculous laughs. And when you're done...
You're talking my language.
Oh, it's food for the soul. So I just want to put out there... You know, I mean, even if you have to make a funny face to somebody, laugh. Laugh. It's such good medicine.
All right. I'm going to leave you with that thought, Patty. And all of you guys out there, give me a hand. Send some good energy Patty's way that this miracle is coming into her realm. And the call from the appropriate person is about to manifest, and he'll take her film to higher ground. Aho, Pat.
Aho, and I do want to say to everybody, I welcome you to my website. I have movie trailers.
Hold on, I'm going there now. You just turn off the promotional voice and let me do this. All right?
Okay. Can I tell them about your new book?
Okay, go for it.
Her new book is on Amazon.com, and it's so unbelievable. It's Where Pharaohs Dwell, and it is a remarkable Egyptian book that is so magnificent, and it's not even available yet. You guys are getting a sneak preview of her brand new book that's about to hit the world, but this could be Patricia's heyday. And this is the first one that wasn't a channeling. This one she actually wrote, which is a different claim for Miss Corey. And it's going to hit the world and fly.
Oh, well, everybody, I want you to know that I really didn't pay Patty to say that. But, yeah, it's coming out soon. Some of you already got it because you can pick it up on my site. I've already got my copies with me here at SyrianRevelations.net if you want to get a jump on it. If you want a book signed for Christmas gift, you need to order it from me here. And as far as Amazon, thank you so much to all of you who have already pre-ordered the book. It will be available on the 24th on Amazon. And, boy, I would really appreciate your reviews because I'm dying to hear what you think of it. So that's coming up. And Patty's site is www.patty.greer.com. She's doing good work. She's a light sister. We need your support. And in exchange, we send you endless love, a little bit of leprechaun-type humor, lots of hope, dreams, and vision. And with that, I will close with Patty Greer. Thank you, Patty. And before you say goodnight, because it's going to be more than two words, I want to say, next week I've got on an amazing author and activist and explorer, investigator. Her name is Linda Moulton. I hope I'm not mispronouncing that. Could be Moulton. Linda Moulton Howe. We're going to be talking about cattle mutilations, another one of those subjects that's kind of woo. So please listen into that. This woman is highly knowledgeable, and she's another light worker putting herself out there with information that sometimes isn't that well received by the powers that don't want you to know about it. And I like that. So, Patty, thank you. Thank you, thank you for being on.
Thank you for having me. And I did want to mention also that my movies are on Amazon.com also.
Okay, we've got all the plugs in, you guys. Check us out. It's Christmas time. And what a great gift to give someone, the gift of knowledge coming from people who truly, I would like to humbly say, are doing our best to get the word out there. And to people like you who are doing your best to do the same, I thank you for always tuning in to Beyond the Matrix, where knowledge cannot hide and where you are invited to soar in the free thought zone, that place we are headed forever. Thank you. I'll be with you next week. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao. And I want to just say, always remember, never forget.